Please turn with me to the book of Romans. And we're going to be coming from Romans, the 10th chapter. But in the meantime, I'm going to make some edits to the slides. Book of Romans, 10th chapter. And today was supposed to be the start of this series. This series is called Even When It's Complicated. This is somewhat of a follow-up to the series we had outside in July as far as keeping it simple. Keep it simple when we talked about presenting the gospel. Keep it simple. And this is, I guess, somewhat of a follow-up to that, even when it's complicated. And what we're going to do is come from Book of Romans 10th chapter, the 16th verse. We're just going to read that right now. We're actually going to be coming all the way to the 6th verse of chapter 11. That's actually what we're going to be reading today. But there's some changes going on right now, and well, let's just read Romans 10th chapter, and we're going to come from verse 16. Book of Romans 10th chapter 16th verse. If you haven't found it in your Bible yet, do not worry. The words are on the screen. Out of the Christian Standard Bible Version, Romans 10:16 reads as follows. It says, "But not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?'" The title of this sermon is as follows. It says, "Just because you give it doesn't mean they'll receive it." Just because you give it doesn't mean they'll receive it. And while I was up here, you know, it's funny how God organizes things. Because as the song that was just playing you know, how the blood will never lose its power. It gives me strength from day to day. God told me, and I don't know how God talks to y'all, but I know how God talks to me. And he told me that's exactly what you need to hear right now. Yes, I had a sermon outline and slides and whatnot. I had it all, but you know what? Today, I'm just going to talk to you. It's a rough morning for me. Some of you are having much rougher mornings right now, whether you're physically here or online. Some of us have had a rough summer. Some of us have had a rough year. And if some of us really want to put it out there, some of us have had a rough life. And, you know, when I study the scripture, One of the things, and this, and teachers, please understand this when I'm saying this. One of the things that God has revealed to me is whenever I get up to preach to you, I need to know how this applies to me. And this week, I struggled with the scripture. Matter of fact, Reverend Burks, I even looked for two other scriptures to preach today. I was trying to get away from this one. And I didn't know why I was trying to get away, but I just didn't want to preach this. I it was hard to understand. It's hard to preach. I don't even know, getting to my technical background, does it even apply to the congregation? Am I just preaching because it's something I want to share and enrich your knowledge, but then in the end, is it really helping? It was tough. It was tough. To do, Reverend Burks, which is why I looked for other scriptures to preach. And I came up with a couple, and I thought I was getting somewhere too. But that's the thing when you try to do things in your own power, in your own will, is that God just shut it down. All the creative juices I had in my head shut down. And he brought me back to this scripture, which I was trying to avoid all week. And again, the question is, how does this apply to me? Well, this is somewhat of a depressing scripture. Because then when you look in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and the 16th verse, we just got done talking about keeping it simple and how the gospel can be preached to everybody, and all we got to do is just go. The people will not hear it unless we just go. But then here comes where Paul is the Apostle Paul, who's writing this. This is where his angst comes from, and the more that I studied and the more that I read and understood where Paul was coming from, the more I realized what God was trying to tell me. And then even as I arrived today, I thought I was going to do this a certain way, and then things happened, and then now here we are. So I'm going to talk about Paul's situation, and then I'm going to talk about this situation. Is that all right? I know I kind of try to do it differently, but I'm going to talk about Paul real quick. The Apostle Paul, that's writing the book of Romans, he's feeling a great weight. He's feeling sad. Why is he feeling sad after we just talked about the gospel and that everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved, and how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Why is Paul upset? Because verse 16, it says, but not all obeyed the gospel. What is the context? Paul is talking to a Jewish, to an Israelite Jewish audience in Rome. And what Paul is getting ready to do is to lament, feel sorry about everything that's happened with the Jews. Why? Because the Jews had Jesus Christ. He literally walked among them and healed them and delivered demons out of them. He was actually there. The same Jesus that we proclaim and lift up, he actually was there. He actually worked miracles. He actually did something with the Jews. And you would think that if Jesus were to walk around the people and were to do so much for a people, the people ought to be so glad, and the people ought to worship him for what he's done. But what Paul realizes is that by and large, the Israel is rejecting Jesus. The nation of people has rejected Jesus, even though he has done so much for them. And so much with them and so much through them. The nation of Israel rejected Jesus. And this is hard for Paul because some of us might remember, Paul used to be a Pharisee. Paul was one of the, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And if you ever listen to how Paul describes himself, he said he's a Jew. He's a real Jew, like a real Jew. And so it hurts when you see your own people with the greatest opportunity of all time, with God himself walking among you. It hurts to see when your people turn away from what is obviously the truth. It hurts when Paul is preaching and traveling and doing everything. He's dedicated his life to teaching primarily first his people, because that was the pattern. He would first go to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. It would hurt when he first goes to his people, who should know about Jesus, who knows about the prophecies, who knows about all these things. And these people are the main ones opposing him. It hurts because all of the effort, all of the work, all of what he's putting in just seems to go to waste. And that's where God hit me. He's like, bingo. Not only do you feel like that, James, but to a degree, St. John feels like that. Sometimes we feel that all of the effort, all of the work, everything that we put into this, to helping other people, especially when we're trying to share the gospel, it just seems like it just comes to nothing. Well, just because you give it doesn't mean they'll receive it. Paul is talking, he says, but not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? And then Paul starts to try to reason this, right? So he says, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message of Christ. So Paul's like thinking, verse 18, but I asked, did they not hear, right? Maybe the Jews didn't hear about God. Maybe that's the problem. And then he says, yes, they did. He quotes from Psalm 19, their voice has gone out to the whole earth and their words to the end of the world. Basically, what that psalm is talking about is how God, the knowledge of God is everywhere, everywhere on earth. Everybody knows about God. You can't go up to a person and talk about God and they're kind of like, huh, what is that? They all know about God. Everybody. So if everybody else knows about God, I'm sure all the Jews knew about this God, and specifically about Jesus Christ. So Paul's trying to make excuses for his people, but he's saying, okay, so they all heard. But verse 19, but I ask, did Israel not understand? Maybe they heard it, right? But they just didn't get it. You know, maybe it's complex. You know, maybe it's hard, right? And then Paul says, well, first, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that lacks understanding. Verse 20, and Isaiah says boldly, I was found by those who were not looking for me. I revealed myself to those who were not asking for me. So maybe it's because they just didn't understand what Paul was going through. Maybe they didn't understand the message that Paul was trying to give them, right? Maybe it's that. And it says, well, nope. Because we got God reached out to people that weren't even looking for him and made himself not just known, but understandable. These people were not doing it. And in fact, why did God do it? Was honestly, that's what verse 19 says. He did it to make Israel mad. He did it to tick them off. Because God was seen as the God of the Jews. And so if the God of the Jews is no longer really with the Jews, but the same God is with other people, the idea was to make Israel jealous. So you have this, right? So when Paul, what is Paul coming down to? What is Paul coming down to? Verse 21, he says, "But to Israel, he," the Lord says, "all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people." And I'll be honest with you, this made me a little depressed. Because when I think about America in general, and we're trying to reach out to other Americans, when people reject Jesus, honestly, it's not because they haven't heard about him. And it's honestly not because they don't really understand him. It's because they're disobedient. They don't want to. Sorry. When people say, I don't want to hear about none of that Jesus blah, it's because they don't want to hear about Jesus. The end. It isn't about how well you speak it and how well you dress and maybe we have the right programs. They just don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. I always think like, Lord, like, maybe I need to be a little more hood. You know, if I was a little more hood, I could reach people. Maybe, Lord, if I could hoop, you know, and I could, you know, if I had a little more of a southern drawl, then maybe I could reach more people. Maybe, Lord, if I were of a different ethnicity, maybe I could reach more people. Maybe if I wasn't as highly educated or maybe even higher educated than I am, maybe I could reach more people. Maybe. And what it keeps coming to is, no, James, you tell people, and if people reject Jesus, it's because they don't want Jesus. Some of us know what that's like in our own lives. Some of us try to plead and beg and try to help people out in their own lives. But when it comes down to it, guess what? They just don't like you. They just not going to do it. They just not going to change. And that sucks to hear. That sucks to hear. Because you have invested all this energy. You have invested all your emotions. You have cried at night. You have prayed to the Lord. You have been trying every single different type of strategy. And maybe say it this way. And maybe hand them this book. And maybe get this person to talk to them. But in the end, these people do not change. And why? Why? Because they simply choose not to. And that is a hard truth to realize. That is a hard truth to realize, that people know who Jesus is and will not choose him. And even lesser than that, it's a hard truth to realize when you try to love somebody and they just don't want your love. When you try to help somebody and they just don't want your help. When you do and make all these opportunities for people, and they just lazy. They just not going to take it. And that's what depressed me, is because I'm coming to the reality that no matter how well of a thing I do, no matter how well St. John does and how much people volunteer for things and try out for other things, it seems like some people just ain't going to change. And that's depressing, because if I'm like Paul, my next question is, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Because in Paul's mind, if God has rejected Israel, right, if he's done with them, if God has nothing, wants nothing to do with them, Why even preach to them? Why? Why sacrifice for them? Why go out and continue to travel and to do all these things? Why would he even do this if God has basically rejected it? And some of us are feeling like this right now. Whether it's our families, whether it's, you know, our race, you know, whatever our race is, or whatever community we're part of, sometimes we feel like, just why do we keep trying? Why do we keep trying? And I'm sorry, St. John, I wish I could be this ultra happy super leader that's nice and smiling all the time. But sometimes I feel like, Lord, what am I trying for? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing here? What are we doing here? Why are we here? What is this for? If nothing changes, the same Sunday after the same Sunday, the same month after another month, the same year after another year, and it seems like nothing is changing, nobody's being reached, nobody's changing their lives, everybody's still dealing with the same sin, everybody's still got the same problems, ain't nobody changing how they handle things, everything's the same, and even though you keep showing up and doing what you do, I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about some of you who labor for Christ, who come and pray for our people and do what we do. If nothing changes, what are we doing? I'm sorry if I'm a little loud, but this is like a toned down version of what's going on in my head. What are we doing here? And I'm going to be honest with you. If I even asked the Lord, like, Lord, like maybe I'm just not the right one. Maybe they need somebody younger, more something else, different race maybe. I don't know, somebody not me. Maybe that's what it is. Some of us feel like this too. It's like, well, our church is too old. We need different people in here. This is y'all words, not me. What are we doing here if God has rejected it? What are we doing here if what we're doing is not effective? And this had me in a real bad slump. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that he gives me strength from day to day. And if some of us could revise that lyric from hour to hour. So thank God for him. Because Paul then goes on. This is only the first part of the first verse. I ask then, has God rejected his people? Paul then says, absolutely not. I'm about to end this. For what? I too am an Israelite. Remember, has God rejected the people? No. I'm one of the people. A descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or did you, or don't you know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? If you don't know about Elijah, he was one of the biggest prophets of all time. And there was a point where the worship of Baal or Baal, however you want to pronounce it, it was sweeping Israel, and there was a point where the worship of Yahweh, this God, the true God, it was about to be finished. The king and queen were wiping it out. And even after he did this, Elijah went and did the miracle and showed that this is the real God and that, you know, fire came down and burned up all the wood and the water and all that. Even though he did that, even though there were some prophets of Baal that were murdered, the queen didn't like it and sent for his head. And Elijah's running and Elijah's hiding somewhere because he's wanted by the federal government for sticking up for God. And now he's like, Lord, like, I'm all by myself. When I went up against those prophets and stood up to the king, queen, I was all by myself. What am I doing it here for? That's what Elijah's thing was. Verse 3, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left. The only one. And they are trying to take my life. Verse 4, but what was God's answer to him? I have left 7,000 for myself who have not bowed down to Baal. What am I getting at? Verse 5, in the same way then, there is also at the present time a remnant chosen by grace. Now, if by grace, then it is not by works. Otherwise, grace ceases to be grace. And let me tell you how this encouraged me. James, you are looking for changes that are not there. But don't you worry. Whenever you preach, something is getting done. Every time you pray for people, and even though it doesn't seem like things are changing, don't worry, because God is moving behind the scenes. Things are changing. Even if I don't see it, things are changing. There are people, James, that need you to continue doing what you're doing, because if you don't do it, if you don't give it, they'll never receive it. I don't know who those people are. It's not for me to know who those people are. But James, God talking to me, James, you need to continue serving. You need to continue doing what you do until I tell you that it's over. Don't you sub yourself out of the game, James. Don't you give up, James. Because you feel like what you're doing is not doing anything. Don't you give up, James. Don't you stop, James. Because there are people that God has reserved for you to minister to. There are people that are on your side. And if you give up, you will never know the goodness of the Lord. I want to encourage you, St. John, today, that somebody here is ready to give up. Somebody here has already given up. And God is telling you, he got 7,000 already waiting. He's got people already waiting. And if you would just get up, and if you would just serve him, and if you would just do what you do, stop looking for results the way you look for results. Just know that whatever is done for the Lord, that your labor will never be in vain. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody's struggling. Somebody's done. And you need to know this. 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 That is now. When you're ready to give up, or it's now after you've already given up, that is when God shows up. So his blood gives me strength because I need the strength. Otherwise, if I didn't need the strength, it would be by works. It wouldn't be by grace. It'd be because I'm such a great looking, handsome, great speaking preacher that is young enough to attract the, 20 to 40 year old crowd. Oh, 40 for a fit, maybe even 50 year old crowd. But no, it's not by works. No, it's not by my efforts. No, it's not how I look. No, it's not how my strategies are playing out. It is always because of grace. It is always because of the Lord. It is always because of him. How were you saved? Because you went to church? No. Because you had a good family? No. Because you knew what the right words to say were? No. You were saved because Jesus chose you. He chose you. And because, oh Lord, I gotta end the sermon. And because, oh God, oh Lord, because he was on that cross. Do you realize this is what God told me? Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. You realize that when Jesus was on the cross, he was dying in front of people that didn't care. But there were some, but he up there, crucified, bleeding,
If he goes on his tippy toes, he's in excruciating pain. If he goes on his heels, he's suffocating. And he's alternating between excruciating pain and suffering for 3 hours in front of people who are gambling for his clothes, in front of people who are mocking him and saying, if you are the God, if you are the son of God, if you are who you say you are, do this then. In front of those people, knowing he could have called down legions of angels, knowing he could have got them, but he got to stay up there because of the remnant. Because there are people that are worth it. Because there are people that will appreciate his sacrifice. And there are people that will turn to him. There are people that will love him. And so it doesn't matter if this dude's cussing you out, if the thief on the right is saying this and the thief on the left is saying that, and if something, no, I don't need that right now, thank you. If they're gambling for your clothes, if they're disrespecting you to your face, if they're sticking spears on you and they're nailing you, it doesn't matter what people are doing, because guess what? There is somebody that needs you to keep going. There is somebody that needs you to keep going. Sometimes I preach just for myself. James, there is somebody that needs you to keep going. Who is that person? I don't know, but somebody needs you to keep going. I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on in your life, but somebody needs you to keep going. Even though they laugh at you, even though they mock you, even if they're physically assaulting you, somebody needs you to keep going. Not in and stay in the abuse. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, don't you give up and then turn like them. Don't you give up and start acting like you're not a child of God. Don't you give up and get down to their level. Don't do that whole get mad. Don't get mad. Get even. Don't even get even. Just get above. Why you want to be even? Get above. Somebody needs to know that, because somebody is depending on that. And I just say, Lord, it has to be your grace. It has to be your grace that keeps me. Because the more we realize it, just because we give it don't mean that they'll receive it. Oh, Lord. Okay, say this, because I'm going to say this. I know we got to get to the rest of the program. I know we got things to do after. But God, but the Lord keeps telling me, remember that every single trigger, every time you are mad, is because of a broken expectation. Every single time. I'll do a series on it one time. But every single reason that you ever get mad or upset is because you had an expectation that was broken. And God keeps reminding me that I have these expectations that are getting broken. But guess what? God's expectations. God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega. And maybe it's actually a good thing that my expectations gets broken, because then I realize I'm not in control. Y'all know when things go the right way for you all the time, you start thinking that you're in control of things. And sometimes God has to let things go wrong to remind you that you are not in control, but he is, and you need to trust him, not this. I don't know who I'm talking to. Somebody, maybe it's helping. Maybe the person's online. Maybe it's helping you. I don't know. But God is saying this. He's saying, like, you always have the expectation. That's James, that's your problem. You expect that when you put in the hard work, then you'll get the results. The way you see it. The way I expect it. If you just put in the hard work, then you get the results. If you just show up and do what you're supposed to do, then XYZ is going to happen. And I'm coming to tell you today, the Lord has told me this. I am sharing this with you. You are expecting something that may not happen. But the reason we do it is because there is an expectation in heaven that we can depend on, that everything we do for Christ shall last. He keeps reminding me. Oh, Lord, I'm trying not to get into another sermon. I'm not going to do it. But he keeps reminding me that every time, every single time you push through something, do you realize that your heavenly bank account goes up? We receive rewards in heaven. Every good deed, every bad deed is going to be weighed, right? Every good deed we will be rewarded for. Pushing through your hurt is a good deed. Talking to people even if they hate you is a good deed. Showing up even when you don't feel like it is a good deed. When you continue to do good deeds, do you realize you get more rewards in heaven? Every single time. So when people cuss you out and you choose to respond in love, your bank account in heaven goes up. Do you realize that when you decide to show up and do what God wants you to do, even though you don't feel like it, when you decide to read your Bible, even though your flesh is telling you to go read something else, that every single time that your riches, your actual reward in heaven goes up, every single time, every single time if you are hurt or injured or sick, that you continue to do what you can for the Lord in spite of your injury, that your bank account goes up in heaven every single time. And if we could see the actual result, that we would realize that it's worth more than anything that this world could give us. We would all come to church if we got paid $1 million every Sunday. We would all keep pushing through if we knew that 500 G's was gonna be waiting on the other side of this. We would all keep pushing. We would all calm our mouths and respond in love and grace if right after that conversation, you knew that you were gonna get your student loans paid off, hello, or your car paid off, hello, or that new house you wanted, hello. We would all do it. But the problem that it's hard to do it is because we don't see the reward. But I'm coming to remind you that there is a reward, that there is something worth fighting for, that if you keep pushing, that if you keep going, there is something in heaven waiting for you, and every single good deed that you do will be accounted for, and it will be rewarded in full and then some. Just because they don't give it. I mean, just because you give it doesn't mean you'll receive it here. But you will receive it up there. Just keep going. St. John, just keep going. Keep going.